comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. And that's more than just words, ladies and gentlemen. Those are facts. I'm here because you truly do matter. And we live in a time, of course, when there are all kinds of events taking place and all kinds of situations where people are trying to tell us that we don't matter. Well, in fact, we do. I talked with several people just rapid fire quickly before the show tonight. Just wanted to sort of get a feel for what was going on with the, people watching the presidential debates. I'm not interested in what's going on in the debate. Truly, I'm not. I don't care. I am totally apolitical, and I know pretty much that the direction major changes are not going to happen either way. We're going to get the same deck of cards after the election. Regardless of which way it goes. Now, you may think that's cynical, and perhaps it is, but and I encourage you not to be, but I am. But the deal is, I just wanted to get a taste for how are these presidential debates impacting people. And I called four different people, and all four were angry for different reasons. All four were angry. So, from where I sit, the presidential debates were not a healthy thing for the psyche of the country. People were angry for different reasons. Time to get rid of all of that, because it's time now for us to do something really cool, and that is take a journey into the world of the strange and unexplained, as we do each and every night. For this flight, I will be your pilot, and we are going to be talking this evening with Lee Allen. Lee Allen is someone that was mentioned whenever Kimberly Ridgway was my guest. Lee Allen is the guy at, I think it's pronounced Paravisions. And you'll see, you can just click where it says show info on the website, and it'll pop open a little screen. It has his bio information and a link to his website. But he's got a very interesting story, and I think, not only is he going to be able to talk to us about some of the investigations and that his group has done, and we're going to play some of the EVPs for you that he has provided us. That's going to be cool. But not only that, he himself has a very interesting story and a very compelling story about how all of this began. And so I'm looking forward to getting to hear all of that. If you're not yet a member, be sure you join. Nobody but you can fix it. We'll be back right after this, and we'll be talking with Lee Allen. Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. And we are talking with, we are going to be talking with Lee Allen. Lee Allen is with the ParaVisions Paranormal Investigation Group. And we're going to get him to tell us all about that. Now, we do have one little tiny technical problem taking place. I apologize to those who are listening on radio. It suddenly has dropped out of stereo. And we'll work on that. We'll see if we can get that going back. But we're not going to interrupt the show for it. You may just have to listen on one speaker here tonight. Don't know what just happened, but it dropped out of stereo. Okay, so Lee, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Lee, I said at the beginning that you have a very interesting story, and I want us to get to that, but before we get to that, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about your Paranormal Investigations Group, and tell us a bit about that, and who's involved, and what is it that you do?
Well, ParaVisions Paranormal, I created it in 2002, and I actually been through a lot of, you know, journeys through 2002 until today, but the past year I've found out we only need four to investigate a really good investigation, and I have three of the closest people to me on the team. Her name is Patricia Allen, which is my wife. She once was a client, and now she's an investigator. My good friend Patrick DeHart, he's my tech guy, and Jim Wilson. He is actually a gentleman that I met back in 2008. Kings Island Amusement Park in Cincinnati, Ohio, when we investigated the park. And he is an employee there, and he came out the night with us, and that's how we met, and now he's an investigator on the team.
Okay. So what is it that your group actually does?
Well, what we do is we get the phone calls, emails from homeowners, business owners, to come out and help them with bumps in the night, issues going on in the home. And what we like to do is just go out to the location and actually, first of all, see if it's man-made before we pull any ghost equipment out. And the only piece of equipment that we will pull out is the EMF detector to check out the electromagnetic fields around the home, if it could be a electrical box, a faulty wire at a light switch, and, you know, and that causes nausea, hallucination, and we want to make sure that we clear that up before we investigate, because we have ran into that in the past to where we went into a house and found out that there is a faulty wire somewhere. And, you know, it's really causing us headaches, and we tell them to get that fixed and then call us back. And it actually, they called me back and told me, don't worry about investigating, because it was the wire. But it was causing them to do, you know, hallucinate and all that. Plus, they watch the paranormal shows on TV, the all the file shows, and they believe in the paranormal. So that was a good thing. We just go out there and we try to – we're not just a paranormal team. I think to me we're more of a counseling team. We go out there and counsel the clients, help them out any way we can, not just go out and sit in the dark and try to capture something on video or audio. So we are a team that is loyal to what we do. It's therapeutic to me to go out there and help with the situations that I've had in the past with what got me to where I am today. But I just like to help people any way I can.
Now, do you do any sort of exorcisms or cleansings to get these spirits out of the houses?
No, I've never been on an exorcism. But I have been... I have witnessed the actual cleansings with mediums that we've had with us. A really good friend of mine here out of Columbus, Ohio, Deb Lance, and she's taught me a few good things on that, so I have done some of those, but mm-hmm. we have never came across any exorcism.
So is it like a family calls you and they're having, as you said, bumps in the night, weird stuff happening, and is it helpful for them for you to go out and just document that, yeah, it is paranormal activity, or no, it's not? Now, I can understand if you say, no, it's not paranormal. That's going to be helpful for them somewhat. But what if you say, yes, it is?
Well, usually what would happen is if they say it, you know, if we have to say, yes, there is some paranormal activity going on in the home, but we're not going to say it's haunted because it could be a factor of things. It's just, to us, it's the unknown. I can't answer it. I can't figure out what it is. And we try to explain. You know, we can't just figure it out on one night's investigation. We have to come back into a series of investigations to figure out what's going on. So we try to counsel them a little bit, give them techniques and things they can do on their own with just simple voice recorders, taking control of their home. It's their home. Just, you know, I try to tell them, I was like, you know, a lot of people think we're crazy doing what we do. And it took a lot of encouragement for you to call me. But you have to take control of your situation by just speaking out, saying, hey, this is my location. This is my home. It's time for you to move on. Or some people will say, you know, is it okay if they stay? They don't bother me. Yeah, just tell them, hey, it's my time here now. And you know, just leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. And we go from there.
And does that work?
Actually, it has worked in the past to where, you know, we have had activity. People are okay with it. We just check up with them. We keep, you know, we keep a file of each investigation that we do, and we'll do a follow-up every 3 to 6 months, and things are okay. You know, they'll tell me, yeah, we'll hear, you know, they give them names, or, that, you know, we may have done some research, and we have picked that person up on audio. And, yes, it has worked. I haven't had any issues to where they say, you know, Mr. Meanie Pants is back and, you know, he's driving me nuts and he's not listening to what I'm saying. I haven't had that.
But, I mean, if the I am hearing an echo in my voice now. Weird stuff, paranormal stuff perhaps happening with our audio here. Okay, so look, if the family that's experiencing this stuff, if they say, all right, it's our time here in the house now, and as long as you leave us alone, we're going to leave you alone, does that actually work?
That's a good question. Sometimes, you know, we give that out there. And like I say, you know, I tell them to do that. I'll even say it when we're there, when we're doing an investigation, or one of the investigators will, you know, grab the homeowners or the business owners. And I believe it does, because, I mean, I believe with just like mediums, when they say, you know, feel like when you got a hitchhiker or there's something wrong, to say, you know, you need to clear your mind, you need to breathe in, you need to say these simple words, and sometimes it works. So, yeah, on the paranormal side, I think if you have to tell the spirit entity, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, okay, you built this home, or you was here a long time, and now it's my turn, I believe just simple talking, because that's how my team is when we're out investigating. We don't want to go in there and we don't want to provoke. We don't want to yell. We want to talk like we want to be respected, like they would want to be respected, and we want it back, you know. So we'll go in there and talk on a normal level like this, or and just see what we get, because I found out that, you know, yeah, when I first started provoking, trying a little bit of that, it didn't work. And if I was a spirit and I was on the other side and somebody came into my location and they started doing that to me, I feel like I would hide. And you wouldn't, I wouldn't come out and communicate with you at all. I would stay hidden. So we go in at a normal level. If there's children, spirits, we'll, you know, we figured out something. You don't stand up to talk to these spirits. You want to actually get down on your knees or sit Indian style, because they'll come out and they'll communicate with you. And just little simple things that we forget when we investigate, it really does work. And those are little simple tasks right there.
Do these spirits realize they are dead?
You know, that is a good question, because sometimes I don't think they do. I think some of them believe that we're intruding, we're trespassing in their areas. And I've heard mediums say, you know, we need to get them to the light. And sometimes I don't know. That's a good question, Kevin. I really, that is the search. That is why I love doing the paranormal, is to see what we pick up at each location. And sometimes you can figure it out by, you know, video, audio. And it's sad that, you know, they don't know they're dead and they're lost or they're stuck. And that's the gift. That's why we're there to help.
Okay, we'll come back to the investigations, and we'll talk about some specific places that you've investigated.
Sure.
But I want you to share what you told me, and it's also in your bio information, about how you got started with this.
Yes. Well, I never believed in the paranormal at all in my life. I've never had any experiences in my entire life. I was born in 1975. Never believed anything. Grew up in a Baptist home, and everything, you know, was normal. Didn't have any crazy things happen to me when I was a kid. Like a lot of people say, yeah, it happened to me when I was a child or a teenager. Not mine. In 1998, me and my ex-wife, we had a little boy, and his name was Austin. And he was born with what they call hypoplastic left heart, where his left side of his heart wasn't developed. So he passed away at 2 weeks old. He never did get to come home. And it crushed me, you know, being a dad and my son, and I didn't get to, you know, do anything with him. And it was about a month later. I was getting ready to go golfing, and I walked by his nursery. And we now remember, he never did get to come home. And my wife was already gone. She left like a couple hours before I did. And I walked by the nursery, and I heard the mobile playing, but it was playing real slow, and it sounded eerie. So I opened the door, and what I saw was the mobile moving. And so I go in the room, and nothing, no one there. So I went out, and I called her, and I said, hey, were you in the nursery? And she said, no, I haven't been in there since we were in there, and that's been weeks ago. Well, I go golf, and I just was not focused on the golf at all, just trying to figure out what was going on. And things have came to me quite often since then. I was sitting in watching TV one night, and it was just me down in the living room, and at the steps I could see a 4-foot shadow come down the steps, then go back up the steps, but it wasn't going up like it turned around to go up. It was going backwards, and it wasn't like it was a human being. It was more like a photogenic. It was just like up, 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 up. And there would be nights where I would hear, you know, I would wake up because I would hear someone scream my name like a little child. And so I freaked out a little bit, and I started doing my own research, figuring out, what is this? What's going on? And so I got with a bunch of people. I found a group, a Yahoo group that does ghost stuff. They talk about it, and they said, maybe you should go out and see what it is to investigate. So I went out with them on a couple investigations, and my first investigation ever in 99 was at the Wheeling, West Virginia, Moundsville Penitentiary. And I'm like, you know, I tell people that now, and they're like, wow, you went to that kind of place instead of going to a residential. Well, I was intrigued by history anyways, doing the paranormal, and my entire life, the history is a big thing. And got into it a little bit more and got with a friend, and he was into it. And then in 2000, my daughter was born, and her name was Caitlin. And she was born with what they call the imperforated anus. And at this time, I started freaking out because I'm thinking, losing two children, you know, with issues, I hope, you know, that everything's okay with her. And so we were genetic tested. Everything was fine. It just happened. And still, at this time, I was still having experiences. And we moved, and I still was having experiences in the new home. And nobody around me, my wife, my in-laws, my parents, friends, and they weren't experiencing anything that I was going through, and I was just blown away. Like, you guys aren't seeing that or hearing this. And then she was born, and she had 53 surgeries her entire life, and she passed away May of 2005.
Now, how old was she?
She was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I've lost two children, and like I tell people, I didn't go looking for the paranormal just like all these teams do out here, these people. They want to go out and see what they can capture. They want to see if they can do it. The paranormal came to me. I didn't go looking for it. I didn't know nothing about the paranormal. And when I go out and I take time away from my family and my team takes time away from their family and we go out and we do this hard work, because it is hard work. I mean, we're sitting there for hours trying to capture something and trying to figure out what's going on. I put my heart and soul into it. And like I said earlier, it's therapeutic to me. It helps me communicate with my children. The past year, I'm clairvoyant a little bit better and audience. I help with that. There's places that we go to now that I don't want to hear any issue, anything going on at the place, and I'll pick it up on my own. I've been doing some remote viewing, just thinking about it before we go, and sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. But I go out and I try to help the person that called me or emailed me. And my big thing is, if they call me and there's children involved, I definitely want to be there for the children.
All right. I've got a question or two about all of that, and we'll get to that on the other side of the break that's coming up. My guest this evening here on the Kevin Smith Show is Lee Allen, and his group is Paravisions, and we are privileged to be hearing what it is that propelled him into the investigation and study of the paranormal. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me remind our audience on the radio, we are aware that it dropped out of stereo. We don't know why, and things that I've tried to do to fix that while we're on the air have been to no avail. And so it's just going to have to run that way until the show is over, and then we can look into it, because anything else that I do would interrupt you getting to hear this show, and I don't want you to be interrupted. My guest this evening is Lee Allen, and Lee is a paranormal investigator. Lee, you were telling us as we went away for break how it is that you got into this, and actually it was as a result, apparently, of your young son dying at 2 weeks of age, never got to come home from the hospital, but apparently showing up in the nursery at home and on the steps at home. My question is, have you had any, in first question, have you had any encounters with him in a sort of face-to-face situation where you know it's him and he knows it's you?
Actually, it took a long time before that happened, but yes, I have. And it was at a location in Kentucky, and when it just blew me away, because when I turned the corner, a lot of people tell me, you know, do you age when you get older, when you pass away, or do you stay the same? And, you know, him being 2 weeks old, from my looks, when I saw him when I was coming around the corner in this big, huge place we were at, it just gave me goosebumps, so I felt like I knew the person. So I had to stop, and I had to pull out the voice recorders, of course, and I had to see what I could get. And I didn't know if it was somebody playing games, but it just felt, you know, I was always told, you know, go with your gut feeling. And this was a gut feeling, and it was really, it touched my heart. It made me cry. It was tears coming out of my eye when I, so I know, you know, not just from hearing it from higher power people that is very, you know, intuitive, but I know that he is by my side. He is one of my spirit guides, and he keeps an eye out on his dad, especially when I go do this and take care of these situations for these people as the best as I can. So, yes, I have, and it's only happened once.
And what about encounters with your daughter? Have there been any?
Oh, she's with me and my team all the time. Mm-hmm. There's not an investigation that goes by that she's not there. This may sound crazy, but a lot of people think what we do is crazy. But when we're sitting in and doing an investigation, someone had told me once before, hey, call for your spirit guides to help you to communicate with the other side. Let them know what you're doing so they don't get scared, and they may come and talk to you. And I do that all the time with my children, and I feel that my daughter is always there. When we are on investigations with mediums, people, you know, they always come up to me, and they may not know my story because I don't tell everyone. And they'll, you know, they'll say, it's okay, she's with you. And I'm like, so it does work. So I'm, you know, I'm doing this to my meditating to myself and during these investigations to have them go tell the spirits that, you know, we are here to communicate. We are here to help them just as much as we are the living. And so, yes, I have. And I feel, you know, each investigation, that's why I cannot wait to go on an investigation every time we have one, because it feels like there's a bond there with my children.
All right. Now, have you ever gotten EVPs of your children?
I have got EVPs of my daughter, yes. I have kept those secret. I do not pull those out, but I do have EVPs of my daughter.
And what does your wife think about all of this?
Well, I'm remarried, but my ex, are you talking my ex-wife, their mother?
Both.
Well, my ex-wife, that was the reason, one of the big reasons that we are divorced, is, you know, she didn't believe in this stuff. I was so into this, wanting to learn more. I could be myself around people that do this. I could go out there and communicate with people and share what I'm going through, and they actually understood compared to talking to her. And, I mean, it caused a big conflict, and she's not on board. She doesn't believe in any of that. So that's where that stands. Now, my wife now, since she was a client, now she's a on our team, she really is okay with it, and she knows that it means a lot to me. And so she's there to help me. She's supportive. She's supportive for the team, and it's just great.
All right, now you and your team have done a bunch of investigations. When did you form as a team?
When did we form as a team?
Mm-hmm.
we formed, the four of us formed as a team. We've been a team, you know, since 2002. But these three plus myself, we formed within 2 years ago. Jim has always been a part of my team since 2008, since he tagged along with us when we investigated the park. Then I met Patrick first, and he had his own team, and he just said, I'd really like for you to check out this location. I need a second opinion, which to me, you know, having another team or an individual, a couple individuals that you know, go out and get a second opinion is a great thing, especially a residential. So the residential that he had was my wife's now, and the house we live in is haunted, and I couldn't make it to the investigation, so I had to send out some of my team members, which at the time I had more than what we have now. And but when the reveal came, they did actually capture a few things on audio, and they caught a few little things on, you know, video, and I wanted to be there to show them how to do reveal. So when I went to the reveal, that's how I met Patty, my fourth investigator, and my wife. And talking to her a little bit more, you know, coming back and me doing an investigation here, us doing a couple more investigations to just go through, because I feel like, you know, one night of investigation is not going to do it. The spirits, to me, I think, has to get to know you before they're going to communicate with you, just like, you know, talking to a stranger. You're not going to get the answers you want until you start talking a little bit more and more and more. So we grew a bond there, and it just took off from there. So I would say everything started about 2010, Kevin.
Since 2010, you have done a number of investigations, and you've captured lots of EVPs. But you told me when we talked on the telephone about a situation where you took some people, I guess your team, maybe some others, I don't know, and you went into a location, and you were speaking to a spirit that you knew was there, and ask that spirit to move something. Tell us about that. Tell us that story.
Well, actually, that happened just this past Friday. We were actually we're working on this new location not far from us. The gentleman bought the location, and it was built in 1861, and it was a straw board slash cardboard factory. It's about 103,000 square feet, and my full-time job is I do fire inspections, so I went in there, and that's how I met the guy that owns it. And he's trying to convert it as – it's zoned as an industrial production, but he wants to zone it as doing, like, rock concerts. So he named it Rock Dock, to where he could have, you know, different rock bands and country singers and all that come in, and they can, you know, use it as, like, a stage. It's huge. And so this past Friday was our first investigation, and it wasn't bringing in another team. It was actually bringing in a bunch of people that is fascinated with the paranormal, and they were very serious people. We had 14 of them, and plus us four and the owner, and we split up. And my group, it was me and my wife, and then I had seven of them, and then the owner was with me. And when we go back in this one location of the building, like a maintenance welding area, within minutes I picked up a name, and his name was Bill Sherwood. Now, when I'm doing my investigations, I use the Goolby gun that Kimberly Ridgway created, and I use it a little different than how she's brought it out. I use it to spray so for the spirit or the energy around them, so they can use it instead of using our energy, and it seems to work for me. So I sprayed a couple sprays in there, and within minutes I picked up the name. There was two or three of them that heard the name as well, but there was a lot of people in there, you know, that they weren't getting anything. And so what I did is I said, okay, Bill, if that's your name and you're a maintenance guy here and you spend a lot of your time here, if you could do something different, if you could move something, I know it's going to take a lot of energy for you to do this, but if you could move an object in this room or knock on the wall or something so we can let the entire group of people here hear what, if you're here. Well, with, I would say, 30 seconds, there was a 4-foot by 4-foot piece of plywood leaning against the wall. It leaned out and slid 2 feet to the right and slammed against the wall. Nobody over there. So the first thing we thought of, okay, maybe it's there's some critters in the building. We go over there. There is nothing. The only door in was the one behind us. There's no windows. And that just, you know, for me, documenting that, and actually I feel like there is a major connection. I don't even really know how to explain it, the connection that I have with the other side. Sometimes it's a little scary, but...
Well, I guess it was pretty scary for the group that was with you.
Oh, absolutely. They freaked a little bit. And then they started looking at me a little different. They're like, whoa, okay, you know, the thing was brought up. Well, maybe he set that up. Well, no, I didn't set that up because I showed them. We turned the lights on. There's, you know, in the air, we had all flashlights. I said, I didn't do this. I didn't intentionally do this. So there is, you know, there is no explanation why that piece of wood moved, and that piece of wood probably weighed, I don't know, 4-foot by 4-foot piece of plywood, 3/4 inch thick. I mean, that was pretty heavy. And we got a few more other things, but they were actually, you know, like shocked, and they're like, wow.
I can imagine, yeah.
So I did, you know, I didn't expect something like that. I was expecting, you know, I knock, they knock back. Or, you know, a shadow person, something normal. But this here was very unnormal.
Very dramatic, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it even scared me. I mean, we all jumped back. And even though that I was felt like that I was communicating with this guy, I still felt like, wow, you know, that freaked me out. Uh-huh. And the owner was a big skeptic. And he goes... So, we spent about an hour and a half in there. And he goes, I've never experienced anything like that. He goes, you know, I walk this place all by myself all the time, making sure the doors are locked, cleaning. They have benefit shows. They have all kinds of things there. So, you know, at the end of the night, a thing was when my team got together, we was like, well, we need to ask the group, is there anything that we can do better for the next group of people we bring? Because this was our trial.
All right. We have to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, broadcasting in stereo on television and not stereo on radio tonight. I tried again during the break. I don't know what the problem is, but we will route that out and we'll get that fixed. We're talking this evening with Lee Allen, and Lee is the head of a group called Paravisions. If you go to my website, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show right under it, you'll see a link that says Show Info, and if you click that, it pops open a little window with some information about Lee and a link to his website. But Lee, if you will, just go ahead and give us your web address now.
It is www.paravisions, that's para. VIZIONZ.com.
And for all of our listeners in the UK and in Australia, replace Z with Z and you got it. Okay. Out of all the places where your website has some really cool pictures and a lot of information about the investigations and a lot of information there on that site. But out of all these investigations, what would you consider to be the single best investigation for you, the pinnacle, the big one?
I would have to say the best one for me would be Mansfield Reformatory.
Okay.
Why? Mansfield, Ohio, penitentiary. That's where they made the movie Shawshank Redemption. And that was back in May of 2010. Yes, 2010, May 2010. And this was before I knew anything about, you know, opening my gift. And this is where it all began. It was an investigation. There was eight of us that went on my team. And we joined with another team to investigate the location and to save some money because it was a pay in place. And so we all went in. And my team, we did the administration side, and the other team did the cell block area. And what we did is we split up into four people, and I had my team go in the basement, and the other team went upstairs, and we ran for maybe an hour and a half and then switched. And then we met at the base, and then we switched cell block area to administration. Well, we started out in the basement and walked down. You know, first we got the tour and all that, so we started the investigation and got downstairs. And you have one of the EVPs from that location, and it said, "Me hungry."
All right, let's play that.
Sure.
It may take a second to start, but here it comes, folks.
Whoa, look at that.
Whoa,
oh,
right here.
Oh! The thing's been flat the entire time.
Yeah, I heard it. But now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How do we know, and I'm asking this so you will have the opportunity to answer it, because there will be people who have this question in their minds. How do we know that's not someone whispering, "Me hungry"?
Exactly, and that's the thing, Kevin. When we do our investigations, we tell people, do not whisper. Even if you're not on our team, do not whisper, because when we go over our audio, we don't want to have that and not know, you know, because it sounds to us when we get that it could be someone there in the room. Well, if you hear all of us are talking through that entire EVP, then that comes across. And like I said, we're 100% dedicated to what we do, and I don't want to falsify any evidence, information that we give out there, because when that day comes, that's the day that I'm going to stop the website and I'm going to put all my equipment down and walk away.
All right, let's listen to this again.
Sure.
All right, folks, get your listening mind ready, and you'll hear this. It's very, very quick.
Whoa, look at that.
Whoa, oh, right here.
Oh! The thing's been flat the entire time.
And you're absolutely sure that's nobody near the recorder whispering?
That's 110% sure that is nobody near the voice recorder whispering, trying to play a joke on me. And at the same time, if you hear the lady, our K2 was going off. Now we all know what the K2 meter is. You've seen it on all these paranormal shows. Now I don't just use the K2 meter. There is another piece of equipment that I Velcro to that, and it's called the RF detector. Because a lot of people get falsified information from the K2 meter, because a cell phone, a two-way radio, a CB radio, they can cause the K2 meter to flash. So what we did is you can go out to your local hardware store and find an RF detector for like $15, and it'll beep, and the green light will go red. And if that happens, it causes the K2 to spike. So if you hear the RF go off, you know you're not getting paranormal. But if you're getting K2 spikes and not the RF, then okay, then there is something going on. There is a fluctuation in the electromagnetic fields, and it's fascinating. So if you noticed, she was talking about the K2. You did not hear the RF going off.
Now, what would it sound like if it went off?
The RF sounds like it's like it goes beep, 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 but a high-pitched beep sound.
All right, let's listen to this again, and we'll pay particular attention to the fact that we're not hearing the beep, beep, beep sound. Here we go.
Whoa, look at that.
Whoa, right here.
Oh!
The thing's been flat the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's what we were going to because the K2 was going constantly crazy in there. And the thing is, there is no electricity in the basement. And so we were blown away after hearing all the, you know, the when going through the ghost tour, all of the information about the prison. And I was just fascinated with that right there. So we started walking around, going different room to room into the Mansfield Reformatory. And we were getting little things, you know. We would see shadow people, but we're like, is it really shadow people? Because I always want to debunk everything that we try to do. Because if I can debunk it or reenact it, I know it's not paranormal. So that's the kind of person I am. And I want to go out there and try to do that.
Well, now, you know, let me take issue with that. I understand what you're saying, but just because you can reenact it doesn't mean that a real event didn't happen. Look, how many times have you seen automobile accidents in the movies? Well, those are all faked up. However, yeah, that doesn't mean real automobile accidents don't happen.
That's true. That's true.
And, you know, I saw that. I used to say that, too. And I saw that on a TV show that was all about the paranormal. And the deal was, if I can build an effect that will do this, then it was a hoax. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? That's not true. And I'll tell you the example I thought about right then. How many times have you seen someone going to the hospital to have a baby on television? Does that mean no babies were ever born? They're all hoaxed because they can do this reenactment?
I've never even thought about it that way, Kevin. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, you know, if just because I can reenact it, just because I do a lot of video editing. So yeah, I can make things appear to be a certain way in video because that's the effect that I want you. If I want you to feel like you're in a burning building, I can put you in flames. Uh-huh. But does that mean there are never any real flames? Of course there are.
Sure.
And so just because we can reenact it doesn't mean that it was hoaxed.
That is true. That is true. And, you know, and... But my mindset is like, you know, because I don't want things to be haunted, but I love doing what I do, and what I capture is, you know, what we put out there. And these EVPs, these audio clippings that we put, I do use Audacity, but I do not use the effects. That is raw. That is 100% raw. I don't cut, I don't chop, because I feel that if, let's say that we were doing an investigation and you picked up a sound, you can take complete control over everybody's mind that's listening to that. And I try to explain that to people this past weekend at that location we were at. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, I can pick up something and I can, and I'll play it for you several times and you don't hear it. But as soon as I tell you some words, you're putting those words that I told you in your head. And then I'm going to play it back, and you're going to hear those words. And then you may not hear this exact words. You may be adding words to what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something else that I'm like, well, you know, so that's what I do with the audios. You know, we just...
All right, we have to step away from break. Sorry about that, but we've got to go. We'll be back right after this. More with Leo. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you just joining us now in this second hour, you're just getting here, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. But my sincere hopes, wishes, and prayers that you never suffer that tragedy again. My guest this evening is Lee Allen, and he is head of a group called Paravisions. And we're talking about paranormal investigation. We're really getting into this more than you normally get into it. When you do, I'll just tell you, Lee, normally whenever I do an interview with a paranormal investigator, we hear pretty much the same sort of stuff. Nothing against paranormal investigators, but we hear pretty much the same kind of stuff. We're getting into it a little bit deeper here than we normally do because you've shared some personal stuff with us about how you got into this, and so it sort of helps us to connect with you better. Now, you were talking about I had asked the question, how can we know that these EVPs are not just somebody whispering near the microphone? And you were explaining that, and you told us that these are all raw files. Well, that means you haven't edited them.
No. Nope, that is just clipping it, and us putting the best ones out there for all of our people that go onto the site to see and just to listen to. That is it. There's nothing done, doctored, anything like that, like people would do with photos. That is 100% raw.
Now, you sent me several EVPs. We may have time to get to all of them. We've got six of them. We've played one. We may not have time to get to all of them. We might, but we'll see. So let's pick what you think is the best one next after that one.
Okay. Well, the next one I sent you, Kevin, is Cross Keys Tavern. A little boy said it looks pretty far to me.
All right. Let's listen to that.
Sure.
Okay. It looks pretty far to me. It's the only guy.
Now, that one did not sound whispery. It sounded like a human voice.
Absolutely.
Let's play it again.
Okay. It looks pretty far to me. It's the only guy.
He says something else. Looks pretty far to me. And then, ba-da-da-da. What was that?
It's what I thought, what I picked up out of that looks pretty far to me. It's the only side. And I'm thinking is, before that, we're all talking, you know, if there's any kids here that's lost, just look for the bright light. Now, I'm going to set you into that area there, that time when we were capturing that. We were in this old two-story building. It was called the Cross Keys Tavern Saloon. And it's out in Warren County, Ohio. It's part of Fort Ancient Park, and they use it now for zip lining. That's the office, then you can zip line through the woods there in Fort Ancient. And there's a barn. The barn used to be a school, it was a one-room school on one side upstairs, and then it was a barn for their animals, their livestock. And when we were in the front room, there was two other guys, and they were talking, and I had my voice recorder down. I was not in the room. Now, they're talking, and they, right after that, right around the same time, there's a fireplace. There's no, the windows are all boarded up now, and so they don't get vandalized, and there's a fireplace in that room, and above the fireplace, they saw this blue light, and it hovered there for a second, then it shot off and went straight up the steps to the second floor. And we didn't get to capture that, of course, but the EVP was that right there, And that's right after we were talking about, you know, there was a lady there and she said, if there's children here, you know, she was just talking as we were doing EVPs. And then later on we caught that and I was just blown away of the capturing that, because they're talking, they're not even paying attention and we don't have any children with us. And it sounds to me like a 12, 14 year old child.
Yeah. I want to hear it again.
It looks pretty.
It's the only something.
Mm-hmm.
Only yeah. Side, maybe you said.
Yeah, and also real quick, Kevin, to all the listeners and viewers, if there's an EVP out there that I have and you hear something different, please let me know. There's an email box, and that's why we put them out there, because I know it's hard if you're not investigating. You know, well, I wasn't there, I don't know. So that's why we put them out there to share, and I would love to get people's opinions on things. Anything on my website, I would love to get people's opinions.
Well, I also like to get people's opinions, and I like for people to join us in our conversation. So I'm going to, you and I will continue talking, but I'm going to go ahead and open up the telephone line and invite our audience, if you have a question or a comment for Lee Allen, give us a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are in the USA or Canada, please use that telephone number. If you are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, then you can use that telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. Or, because we know it can be expensive to make that international long-distance call, we have an additional option for you, and that is a flash message, and we invite you to go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down until you see the picture about tonight's show. And when you do, if you'll look right above the picture, you'll see a link that says flash message, and you can participate in the show that way. So no matter where you are on this planet, we have provided a means for you to participate in the show. Let's go to the telephone, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Kathy from Las Vegas.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, I would like to know, your guest mentioned about having to spray for the spirit, and I wondered if that was similar to the stuff for the Goolbegone, or if he could describe how this spray affected the environment and what it's made out of.
Okay.
Yes, it's the Goolbegone, Kimberly Ridgway made, which was on Kevin's show last week, and it is lavender, seagrass, sage. There's a few other ingredients that I've been using this stuff, for two, going on 3 years now, and it smells real well. The lavender overtakes everything, so it's pretty much everything that's into your blessing waters. It's got the sage, so you use to do a cleansing through the home, and it's just calming, relaxing. And we use it to actually produce energy in the area instead of taking energy from us standing there or our equipment that we're using.
So the answer to the question, Kathy, is it is the Goolbegone.
So that diverts the energy, like an energy vampire, if that was in the area, diverts the you being the victim, the source of the energy, and putting that out into the field so it can be attracted to that.
Yes.
Similar to an adaption from like the Native American sage burning type of thing. That's very interesting. I'd like to try to get some of that and see how that affects the environment. That's fascinating. Thank you.
You're welcome. I recommend it. It's called Goolbegone. Go to her website. It is amazing chemical. Love it.
It sounds fun.
Kathy,
I won't investigate without.
Kathy, have you done any paranormal investigating before?
Not officially, but you do run into things through life where are unexplainable that would fall into that category.
Uh-huh.
I've seen strange things in the middle of the night, people, figures, red eyes, and yeah, it's fascinating.
Well, you know, I used to be a cop, right? Kathy, you know I used to be a cop, right? I don't think she can hear me.
I'm having a little bit of delay issues.
You know that I used to be a police officer, right?
Yes.
I've seen lots of strange things in the night, too.
That's why everyone should maybe have some ghoul be gone, and when they feel a little frightened at night, just spray that on like a personal size travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathy, thanks for the call.
Thank you. I'm very enjoying this show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That will bring you right into the studio, and it's like a transporter. If you use this combination on that device called your telephone, here's the combination, 623-444-5889. That will transport you here to the studio, and then you can ask your question or make your comment. And for those outside of the USA and Canada, feel free to call us, or you may use the flash message option. The ghoul be gone, you sent me an EVP of that, and I have to confess, I had a hard time hearing that. But there's an interesting thing with this, in that it's an EVP, and yet we can hear on the recorder, on the recording, people are responding to it as though they heard it with their ears. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Yeah. So what? Well, let's play that one.
Okay.
Let's see. Where is it? There it is. All right. Here we go.
Do you smell what I'm spraying? Did you hear
ghoul?
I heard ghoul.
Yeah.
Okay, now what this one is this is not just a strict EVP. This EVP is more of a the ghost box. We had the ghost box that is the little transistor radio, and we had an external speaker hooked up to it. And we run that for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes during an investigation for bigger groups that's with us to hear what, you know, we can pick up. And it sweeps through frequencies. And
so is that why it sounds like a lawn sprinkler?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going through its frequencies. And the words that it's coming out is it said, ghoul be, then it said, ghoul be gone.
All right, let's listen again.
Do you smell what I'm spraying? Did you hear ghoul? I heard ghoul. It said ghoul.
So, how does this ghost box work? What are we talking about here?
The ghost box is a, like I say, a little transit. It's a PSB7. You can get them, that's what they call them for paranormal. You can get them at all your ghost hunter stores online. And they range anywhere about $80. And what it does is it sweeps through like 3 frequencies per second. And we're using it to communicate with the other side to go through this box and seeing what we can pick up, and then going back with our voice recorders and going over our audio there. And trust me, it is very hard to go over audio with that device. And
so you're actually recording the audio coming out of the speaker on the ghost box?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if I was standing in the room, the ghost box is picking up the EVP. It's putting it out over a speaker. And if I were standing in the room, then I would be able to hear that.
Yes.
Okay, got you. Now I understand. Let's go to the telephone. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, and at the end of that, of course, you can hear the excitement from me and Patrick on my team. And I wanted to put that in there just to show people that, yeah, we were catching something. We got excited.
Yeah, cool. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Lee, I want to mention a guy and a technology that he has available. The guy's name is Jeff Harvey. He's a friend of Kevin's, and he's been a guest on this show. His technology is called the Paranormal Shakti program. Are you aware of Jeff Harvey and his work and some of the technology he has available?
No, I haven't.
Well,
I haven't heard of it.
Well, let me tell you what this is a program. You kind of plug it into your computer and you wear a cap that has some external electrodes on it that are strategically placed to stimulate the hippocampus and certain areas of the brain that increase your sensitivity to paranormal activity going on around you. You can also set it for yourself or for other people if they're plagued by paranormal activity, that it kind of dampens it down where it's not going to bother you so much. You won't experience it so much. I have tried this technology, and I want you to know that it's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely like to try that out. I'm all about, trying new things. That is definitely, because we're all learning, so that sounds very fascinating, and I would love to give that a try.
Yeah, you can set up the program to where you can actually use it on site if you want to. You step into a place that has purported paranormal activity, and if you put this cap on and plug it in, and it can work immediately, or you can set it up to work over a longer period of time, where you would use it maybe once a week as you lie down in your bed or sit comfortably with lights off, and minimize the distractions, turn off your telephones and whatnot, and dedicate an hour to actually letting this this technology go to work on your brain. I live in Columbus, Georgia, and Columbus is a very haunted town, the downtown area especially. You're hard put to walk into any restaurant or shop or store of any kind that doesn't have some hauntings to it. And we have here the Springer Opera House, which is on most all the haunted lists, one of the 10 most haunted places in America. You will, from time to time, see the ghost of James Booth, John Wilkes Booth. I think it was his brother. It might have been his dad. I'm not real sure about that. But there's a lot of heavy haunting at the Springer Opera House, and like I say, just about every restaurant and store downtown. But Lee, I highly recommend that you get in touch with Jeff. Jeff Harvey is on the internet. I think it's Jeff Tech or something. Jeff is spelled with just one F. But I think you would benefit from using this technology.
Yes, I really appreciate you passing that information out. I really do.
All right, let me ask you something, Steve. You have used this technology. And what results have you experienced?
Well, very much a heightened sensitivity. I don't so much see things as, I sense presences. I can just about tell walking into a place if there's any kind of an entity or a haunting there. And, for instance, there's a Thai restaurant downtown that used to be part of an old bank. And the very first time I walked into the place, I could sense there was something there. It was very strong. In fact, I started a conversation with the waiter and the waitress. What do you guys do with the ghost that's here? And they both looked at me. No one's ever brought that up to them before, but they said, you know about the ghost? I said, yeah, he's here. He's right here. And, of course, they went into their anecdotes. But I have found my sensitivity for not just paranormal events, but let me say maybe psychic ability, sixth sense, that sort of thing has been greatly heightened by it. You know, it's pretty amazing technology. You know, where I would just maybe sense vaguely something going on before. Now it's just, you know, a very clear presence and easy to define and locate. And you know, I treat most of them like, you know, they belong there. They are in another vibratory level that kind of bleeds through into our 3D reality somewhat from time to time. You know, in the same way we belong where we are on this vibratory level, well, they belong where they are. I don't treat them like they're intruders. I don't treat them like they're lost. I see them as if they're on a parallel reality, and sometimes the veil between their reality and ours wears very thin. So we sense them more, and sometimes they sense us more. And at least that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Steve, thanks for the call, man. Very interesting thoughts.
Well, you're very welcome. And Lee, you keep up the good work. That's an excellent work you're doing out there.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Thank you for being
I really
guest
appreciate
on the
it.
Show.
Thank you for the information.
All right. Thanks, Steve. So what do you think about that they belong where they are and we belong where we are and everything's cool?
Yeah. That's you know, I'm with him, you know. You don't treat them any different than, you know, than you want to be treated. So, yeah, I agree with him, you know. You can tell I'm the same way when I go into a certain location. I can feel, you know, you can feel a presence among you, like someone's watching you or so yeah, I'm with him on that. And the information that he gave out for the program, I definitely wanted to get in more detail on that. So I've been writing that down, so I'm definitely going to look up some information.
Yeah, you'll find that at jefftech, that's jefftech.net.
Thank you, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. All right, telephone lines are open, and we would love to hear from you if you have some thoughts or questions. Just about everybody has some questions about ghosts and paranormal things happening. Well, here's a chance to talk with someone who investigates these things on a regular basis, has investigated them for some time, and has perhaps a little bit of a unique perspective on it. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And don't forget, if you're outside of the USA or Canada, you can use the flash message option to communicate with us tonight. All right, so let's talk about a little bit about the, well, we'll do this when we come back from break. I'm going to ask you if there's any connection between ghost hunting and extraterrestrial presence on the earth. Have you ever run into them while you're doing ghost hunting? But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break, and we'll be back right after this, folks.
Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show in stereo on our TV channel and mono on the radio tonight. During the breaks, when you hear the music, that's in stereo. But when we come back on, I'm talking, it's just one speaker for you on the radio. Again, we are aware of that. Have no idea why it's doing it, but we will get it fixed. But let me tell you, for those of you who are members, that shows up in the K-Pods, and it'll show up as stereo. We'll do some electronic miracle work with it, and it'll be stereo when you listen to it in the K-Pods. We're talking this evening with Lee Allen, and he is a paranormal investigator. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you wish to join this conversation, we would love to hear you. We would love to hear your comments and your questions. 623-444-5889. Lee, I ask you a question as we went to break, and that is, in the course of your paranormal investigations, have you run into any entities that you thought must be extraterrestrial, not ghosts?
Well, there's been a few things that to me is beyond the paranormal. One was, it was back in 2010, winter time. We were out taking some, we weren't really even doing paranormal. We were just taking some really cool pictures at the cemetery. And it was getting evening time, clear blue sky, stars out all over. And the cemetery set up on top of a hill. And we were looking south. And when we were looking south, we had the camera on a tripod, and we had it set up on a timer, and we were taking some cool pictures of it together. And there was this green – it started out small, but when it got real close to us, it coming from the south to the north, it got bigger. And when it was putting this cast of green light underneath it and past it, and I don't know if it saw us look at it, but it turned and just shot back over a pine tree, and it was gone. And I do not know what that was. There was two of us that saw it, and we do not know what it was or what it could have been. But it did give us the goosebumps, because I have never experienced anything like that. And it happened to us once before after that. Not that kind of stuff, but at a convention, paranormal convention. We're sitting in this convention listening to this presentation, and I don't, you guys familiar with Stan Romanek?
Sure, he's been on the show.
Yeah, okay, now his presentations are phenomenal. And but I go in, it was the middle of his presentation. And what we got was, what I saw out of the corner of my eye was just blew me away. It looked like a lady. Her head was different shape, and I'm sitting there like standing against the wall because all the seats were taken because everybody wanted to hear his presentation. And it just freaked me out what I saw out of my peripherals, and I couldn't explain it. I mean, the lady looked deformed. But when you would turn, when I turned to look at her, she looked normal. And I explained that to Stan after his presentation, after, you know, we all was out in the hallway, and I explained that to him and shared that. Some other people heard me, and they came up, and because I've never really, you know, I've never really opened the books and dug deep into that kind of stuff. I've just had these few little incidents that occurred to me. But I'm not saying it's not out there. I believe it's out there.
But you haven't actually run into that during an investigation, have you?
No. No, I haven't.
Except for the thing at the cemetery. But that was sort of while you were there to investigate, but it was not actually part of the investigation.
It wasn't part of the investigation. So, yeah, but it was the neatest thing to see. And how fast and the direction and the way that that thing was moving. And then, you know, the spray of green light it was putting on behind it. When it turned and shot the other way, it didn't stay. It just went away. I mean, it was weird.
No possibility that was a meteor?
That's what the other guy said it could have been, was a meteor, but... Would they, here's the question I have, because I don't know anything about this, would they put off a color?
They can, but what they can't do is turn and go a different direction.
Yep, because this thing was going south. It was going southeast or northeast, sorry, and then it shot, turned around, and shot the other direction, the same way it came.
Yeah, well, a meteor can't do that. Of course, the debunkers would probably tell us that's Chinese wedding lamps.
That's what? I'm sorry?
Chinese wedding lamps.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of my response
so
to them, too.
They keep it a secret, you know.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back to paranormal investigation. And you have another EVP here that says... Deb, what is this?
It says, hi, Deb.
Yeah.
Yes, this location was the Dayton Victoria Theater in Dayton, Ohio. They opened it up to us to investigate a little bit and had the voice recorder sitting down, nobody around it. We were all in another room, and out of nowhere, Deb is a friend of ours. She's a medium, and... someone just wanted to come up and say hi to her.
All right,
and I thought this was interesting, and I thought I would share that with you.
All right, let's take a listen to this one.
And to the gentleman with the derby, the well-dressed gentleman.
Hi, Deb.
Up in the corner, sir.
Yeah, now see, that one really sounded like somebody whispering to me.
It sounded like somebody whispering, but we were all in the room next door because it was all hardwood floor, like a dance floor, and we were all in there. And it just blew me away. And I let her listen to that over and over. And I said, Deb, do you think somebody could have snuck out and whispered into the voice recorder? And she goes, Lee, I was standing at the doorway, and I was watching down the hallway, and where you had your voice recorder, there was nobody around it.
All right, let's listen and, again.
And the gentleman with the derby, the well-dressed gentleman.
Hi, Deb.
Up in the corner, sir.
So she feels like,
yeah, go ahead.
That it was someone there, and she gave it a name, Miss Vicky. Miss Vicky was a singer there at the Victoria Theater, and Miss Vicky went missing. She went back into her dressing room, and she never came out. So they believe that someone had put her in one of those big chests and took her outside, and they do not know she went missing, but they do remember the last they saw her, she went into the dressing room, she never came back. And Deb feels like that's who was communicating with her that night.
And where is the Victoria Theater?
What's that?
Where is the Victoria Theater?
It's in Dayton, Ohio, downtown uh-huh. Dayton.
And it's known, well known as being a haunted location.
Yes, they do. They do a lot. You can go down there anytime, Monday through Friday. They do ghost tours, ghost walks through there. Plus, it's still open. They do shows there. All your big shows come in there. Concerts, plays. They do everything there.
Okay. Now. When you hear something like this, I mean, did it sound to you, when you heard it, did it sound to you like somebody got close to the recorder and whispered?
Absolutely. And when I first heard it, I thought, okay. You know, I slid it over to the side. I was like, I'm still going to ask Deb, was anybody out there when we went in the room? And because there's a lot of stuff, like even the boy, the one that sounded like the boy, but... I was like, you know, I still got to ask because I wasn't the only one there. But the boy, I mean, it sounds to me like he was right there in the room, but we knew there was no boy there. So, but after getting Deb's side of the story on that, and I believe her because that's how I met Deb. Deb was, she called me up on the phone one night, and she heard about my team, and so she wanted to call me. And so she sent me an email, and I said, sure, give me a call. Well, she described my daughter's casket to a T. She described the what my daughter was wearing the day of her, you know, when we were taking her to the cemetery, her funeral. She described the little cross that I put in the casket. And I didn't even know this lady. And she told me that she went outside one morning and she was sitting there and she says, sitting outside in fresh air is like vitamin D to her. That's the best vitamin D she can get. And she was drinking her tea and she had her eyes closed and her head back and she felt someone grab her right hand. And when she opened her eyes, it was real bright and there was a girl standing there holding a little boy's hand. And she started talking to this little girl and she told him who she was. Now, at this time, when she was telling me this on the phone, I started freaking out. I'm thinking, okay, this lady has lost her mind. But then as she started talking more about, you know, the casket, and I asked her, did she know anybody that I know? She doesn't know anybody I know. It really hit home. It was like a grand slam. And she's real close to the heart. And when she says something to me, just like that EVP, I'd trust her. So I had to put it out there.
So this little boy and girl that she told you about, this was your daughter and son?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, did she tell you, I'm not going to ask you to tell us what message, but was there any message from your daughter that Deb was to deliver to you?
Pretty much Deb just put it in easy terms is that, you know, that they're okay, and they kept on saying daddy, and that's how my daughter, she would always call me daddy, not dad. And I just felt like, okay, they're okay, because mm-hmm. in the back of my head the entire time is, you know, I always thought, you do not bury your kids bury you. And I had to bury two,
mm-hmm.
and they're side by side, but, you know, yeah, that's their bones, but their spirit is right here in my heart. And they'll always be here right close to me.
Well, you know, I've got four children, and I've never lost a child, and there's no way that anybody can truly identify with what that's like. I mean, we can imagine, but we can't really identify, we can't really link up with what that's like. But I can link up with this. I can link up with this. You know how we talk about how lots of women just feel like they need to be a mom. Some women don't, but lots of women feel like they really need to be a mom. Well, I can tell you something that nobody ever talks about, and that is some of us guys really need to hear daddy. I do. You know, if I'm talking with, I've got three kids that are grown, and I've got a little 8-year-old, and if I'm talking with the grown kids, and they call me dad or daddy, I melt. Whatever they're asking for, it's a done deal. You know? And with my 8-year-old, when he calls me daddy, he owns me at that point. I don't tell them this. Of course, I guess the older ones are hearing it now.
Probably listening to this, right?
they're finding out. But, I mean, they own me at that point. Because a lot of us guys really just need to hear the kids call us dad or daddy. So that's a very, very important thing that happened. We have to take a break. It's also important, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach, and that means we only have a few minutes left. And our guest this evening is Lee Allen. Lee, we have a couple of EVPs left. We're only going to have time, I think, for one. Pick one of those, and let's play it.
The one that's the best out of the two is Mommy, Mommy, Mom. This was in, we were in a school. local school here in Ohio, north of Cincinnati, doing an investigation. And my wife was actually, it was me and her and Jim, and we were actually in this classroom. And before we walked in, we could hear a teacher. And we all stopped, and we went back in and heard it again. But when we all go in, this is right in front of my wife, and she cannot hear this little girl. And this is what we call it.
Unfortunately, the title doesn't entirely show. So both of these begin with P-O-A-S-T. Do you know if it's the first one or the second one?
Does the one say mommy, mom?
No, does not show. Let's just guess.
Yeah, just go.
I feel air right here.
Was that it?
Oh, it was the other one.
Well, that's both of them. I don't hear mine.
Here.
Oh, yeah, I do in that one. I hear
the
whisper.
It's the one. It's the one.
Yeah, it's the first one. All right, let's play it again. Folks, you have to listen very carefully. It's kind of a whispery sound.
I feel air right here.
Yeah, mommy, mommy, mom. And what's going on well, first, where is this happening?
This was at Posttown Elementary School.
Posttown Elementary.
Yes, it's in Middletown, Ohio. And we were actually up on the second floor walking into one of the classrooms. They're empty classrooms. The building's empty. They shut the school down in 1999 and built a new school. And now they do, they opened it up. We opened it up myself for the guy that owns it back in 2009. And they've been having paranormal teams in there, conventions, and everything in there. So, yeah, so it was in there, and we just walked in, and I'm checking the windows to pull the blinds down. You can hear me pulling the blinds, and we're talking to each other, but this little girl is trying to get my wife's attention.
And calling her mommy.
Yeah, calling her mommy, mommy, mom. So that was really touchy.
Mm-hmm. Do you know of any tragedy that occurred there that involved the death of a little girl?
Well, yeah, there was a tragedy of deaths there. There's a train track not far behind it and past the playground, and there was a train accident, and they did use the school, and they brought all the people in, and there was a few fatalities. And what I'm picking up on that is, I think the mother was split from the daughter, and the mother passed away, and she's looking for her mom.
Okay, and so the girl has passed away.
Yeah, I believe they probably both, they both probably have passed away, and she's just looking for her mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and just hearing it now still gives me goosebumps, because that was just back in September when we caught these, so...
Let's listen again. I want to make sure the audience gets a chance to hear it. Listen carefully, folks.
I feel air right here.
Yeah. You must spend hours listening to recordings.
I do. Here's the thing. We set up a DVR system that runs four cameras. We've got static cameras on tripods. We have handy cams, handheld cameras, full spectrum cameras. We have, between the four of us, there's probably 10 voice recorders running, so there's audio, video. And we try to get all this done in a week so we can go back and give them a reveal of what we caught or what we didn't catch.
Have you ever caught anything on video that was pretty spectacular?
Yes, we did. We're actually getting ready to do my ghost story called. They wanted us to come out in L.A., so Patrick and myself will be doing that soon. And it is we got a full-body apparition, full-detail face of a girl when we walked into the room at the Stanley Hotel.
Now, where is the Stanley Hotel?
Estes Park, Colorado.
And you got a full body apparition and full detail of the face?
Pretty much the face is a full detail of her face, her eyes, her nose, and a little bit around her mouth. What had happened is it was back in May of it was this year. And we went there to do an investigation in a convention, a paranormal convention. And we were actually in the theater hall in the basement. And Patrick decided he wanted to go back into this room real quick. And when he's opened the door from left to right, he's not even paying attention in the viewfinder of the camera, the full spectrum video camera. From right to left, the girl walks right in front of him. Now, we haven't posted that yet, but I have been sharing it, and it will be posted as soon as the show releases.
Well, that's got to be pretty exciting. I mean, when you found that, it had to be like, holy cow, look at this.
Yeah, because I'm the one sitting going over this. Now, you got to think, you know, we're doing this all night long on a weekend because we all have full-time jobs, Monday through Friday, and I'm sitting here on as a Friday night, and we're all here at my house, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then we all was just like, you know, we're half asleep, but when you capture that, it's like you're awake. This is what you're here to do in the paranormal. You want to capture something. Now, we do have another video. It's on the website, and you click in investigations and scroll down to the Stanley Hotel picture. Click on it. There is a video of we had a trigger object on a table. We're in room 1302, and that's where Ghost Hunters, Grant Wilson, stayed, and the table levitated a little bit. We have a trigger object in the right chair. It falls over, and if you go, I think we've got it out there, you can see that something moves past over the table, and then we have equipment set up on the left-hand side of the screen, and all of our equipment just falls off the ledge. So we have that as well out there. That you can see, but the other one, we have not put it out there yet.
Well, that'll be exciting. We want to be sure and watch for that. We're just about out of time, and I want to thank you for being with us. It's been fascinating, and thanks for sharing these EVPs.
Yes, I really appreciate it. And, yeah, we always we love people checking out our website. We're also on Facebook. And, yeah, we love to shoot us some emails. There's an email click on our website, and we'd love to hear from everyone.
And give us the web address again.
It's www.paravisions.com. That's para, P-A-R-A, V-I-Z-I-O-N-Z.com or .net.
Either one.
Either one.
All right. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment as I bring this one in for a landing. And again, thanks for being with us. Lee Allen of Paravisions. Fascinating stories. And I really appreciate him for sharing with us his personal story about how he got involved in this. Kind of helps you connect up a little better, doesn't it? Remember that we publish something called the K-Files. It's our free weekly newsletter. And let me emphasize the word free. It's free for everybody. And there's really no reason why you should not be getting it. If you're not getting it, it's because you're not subscribed. So get over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. You're going to get an email that has a link in it for you to activate your subscription, and do that, and you're good to go. Also, if you're not a member yet, be sure you join. We're 100% listener-supported. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long everybody.